This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole deck of galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Hey guys, I just wanted to take a quick second to tell you about XOP. You guys, if you haven't gotten your hands on this gear, you are missing out. XOP is constantly innovating to come out with some cutting-edge, lightweight mobile hunting equipment that's top-notch and won't break the bank. Whether you're an experienced mobile hunter or someone just looking to get into it, XOP has a platform, stand, or set of sticks to get you where you need to be this fall. And best of all, it's all backed by a lifetime metal guarantee. This season, I'll be using the Retrograde platform, X2 sticks, and the Mondo hybrid harness. Go build your kit today at xopoutdoors.com. Hunting season is here, and my most used piece of gear that isn't really gear at all is the OnX Hunt app. You guys, you've heard me talk about this forever, and for a good reason. I rely on OnX to help me break down new pieces, learn about areas, plan safe access, and share spots with buddies and loved ones whenever I hit the field. Right now, my most used feature has been the leaf-off imagery layer, which allows me to get a better idea of what's beneath the tree canopy and predict where deer will be moving. On top of that, I'm looking at the crop, acorn-producing oaks, and slope angle layers to plan my hunts. Whether you're chasing big bucks or you're trying to find that new honey hole for you and your duck hunting buddies, you need to get the OnX Hunt app this fall. Go check it out at onxmaps.com. Fall is here and it's finally time to hit the woods, and this season I'm stoked to be wearing Huntworth to keep me warm, dry, and concealed when I hit the woods. Right now I'm rocking the Durham lightweight pants, Shelton midweight hoodie, and Bluff Woods neck gaiter, and that's going to keep me going until the temps start dropping, at which point I'll be layering under the Elkins midweight bibs, which if you haven't heard, they are an absolutely killer piece of outerwear. Whether it's the Elkins bibs, jacket, or vest, this outer layer is lightweight and completely windproof to keep you comfortable when the wind starts howling on those crisp fall sits. My kit this year is in the Tarnin pattern, but you can also check out all of these items in the new Vertec camo pattern as well. Go get yours today at huntworthgear.com. What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast. I'm your host, Pierce Nellis, and this is your home for all things hunting, fishing, and conservation in the Badger State. Folks, it is freaking Halloween week right now, the last week of October. I hope that this fall has been treating you so well, more so this past couple of weeks, because the pre-rut is freaking on, folks. I hope that your camera's been blowing up. More importantly, I hope your stands have been blowing up if you've been getting out and getting in the woods. But, man, it's the end of October. It's finally here. The rut is right around the corner, and a lot is going on right now. Like, I don't know about you guys. I have been trying to play catch-up. Not really even catch-up. I've moved cameras around on this new patch of public that I was honestly going into this season only with the intent of just kind of like, I'll check it out, I'll monitor it, maybe there'll be some good stuff on there. And out of nowhere, this past week, a couple of really, really nice bucks showed up on there. And so I'm still trying to figure this place out. It's a river bottom, which is an area that I'm not super familiar with. Like, I guess it's a terrain that I'm not super familiar with chasing deer around on. So I've been really trying to learn that as fast as I possibly can. But I've had multiple buck encounters on my past few sits, all within 20 yards, all with good shot opportunities. Some of you following on Instagram at the Wisconsin Sportsman, you may have seen that one that just hung out for, I mean, he was there for like 45 minutes working a scrape and just cool as a cucumber. But I just haven't gotten that buck that I'm really after. I haven't gotten one that's really gotten me excited, and I'm looking for that this coming week. So hopefully by the time this comes out, I might have a tag punched. We'll see. Knock on wood here. But I've just been putting on the miles trying to figure this place out. I think I've logged this week, I want to say I'm creeping up on 11 miles right now based on my Onyx tracker. I don't know. My Onyx looks like absolute chaos right now between all the pins and just running the tracker and having my trails running all over the freaking place. So I've been trying to like consolidate stuff and cut what I don't need. So really, I don't even know how many miles I'm at right now, but it has been a crazy week, but a really good week. It's got me excited for this week right now and the coming weeks. So with that, this week, folks, I'm sitting down with the one and only Mr. Dave McChesney. Barefoot Dave is back on the show, and we are talking the great saddle versus stand debate. Now, we cover a lot of stuff in and around that topic. First things first, I mean, we talk about just like the stress around hunting, or I guess Dave refers to it as pressure. You know, sometimes pressure is the great way to think of it. Stress is how I sometimes feel about it, especially when it seems like we're on this time crunch. But we talk a little bit about that. We talk about a successful hunt that Dave had over in kind of a goofy part of the state of Michigan that you Northwood hunters will definitely appreciate. But then we dive on into the saddle versus stand debate. We talk about which one's more efficient. You'll hear it in the episode, but this is both of our first seasons switching from a saddle to a stand. And he's running the Beast Gear stand. I'm running the Retrograde stand from our good buddies over at XOP. And both of us have been learning a lot this season in terms of what we like, what we don't like, how we can kind of perfect our system here. We talk a lot about running hybrid setups out of these stands, and covered a lot of just other cool just gear hacks and efficiency measures that we both learned a lot from each other. And so it's a really good conversation that I'm excited for you guys to hear. We wrap it up talking about our pre-rut plans and plans for the coming weeks. Be sure to go follow along with Dave on social media. He is at @BarefootDave_. He's also got a rocking YouTube channel where he's putting out a lot of great content over there as well. And on the social media front as well, in these coming weeks, as we get into the rut and deer start hitting the ground, I would love to see some of your guys' trophy shots.
tag me in your post at the Wisconsin Sportsman on social media. Or you can even just hashtag it Wisconsin Sportsman and I'll see it that way. But I would love to see what kind of success you guys are having out in the woods. And hey, maybe we'll even have you on the show to tell the story of how you punched a shag. But with that, I'm going to wrap this intro up. Enjoy the episode and we'll talk to you next week. Good luck out there, folks. All right, joining me back on the show, a repeat guest from the other side of the pond, the Michigander, Dave McChesney. How are we doing, Dave?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm excited to have you back. I'm excited to be talking deer and excited that it's late October.
I don't know about you. Oh, yeah.
But, man, it's, it always sneaks up on me. Like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like this entire... Let me ask you this. Do you stress about deer hunting?
I try not to.
Okay.
But the pressure can be on, let's say. Mm-hmm. So, sure. And especially if I'm not getting out, then it's like, okay, I need to get out. Because in October, everything changes, like week by week. It's completely mm-hmm. different, right? So it's like, right. And then you got to start over if you don't get out consistently.
Absolutely. Yeah, dude, I've been finding myself so much, like, I think pressure is the right word. Pressure makes it sound good. I have been feeling just stressed because, like you said, everything's changing throughout the month of October and it's happening so fast. I almost feel like once November hits, it's like, I mean, I think like time almost like slows down a little bit because it's like, okay, the deer are just going to rut for a while now. Mm-hmm. Like we've got like 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks that like things are just going to be kind of consistent. And we know that it's going to be, you know, getting the pinch point, kind of wait for that guy to cruise through and hopefully it all works out. But dude, I've been feeling like I've been playing catch up this entire month and found this week to be the first week that I've had to actually dedicate some time to getting out in the woods. And I've been running across three different properties and trying to like move cameras around and get on deer and find the sign and all that sort of stuff. And like on top, I don't know how it's been over in Michigan. It's been so freaking dry here that
oh, big time.
Even the scrapes that are like open aren't like open. You know what I mean? Like they're not really doing anything on the ground because the ground in most places is just hard as a rock. And so like mm-hmm. they'll clear the leaves, but I haven't seen, you know, like normally you have that. Maybe it's just because they're not peeing in them as much. Yet. I don't know. We're recording this on the 18th. So by the time this comes out, it'll probably be full swing. These things will be stinky, urine soaked little puddles all over the woods. But yep. Man, you already got a kill under your belt this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I went up to the Bowhunter Chronicles, another great podcast out of Michigan, their Patreon hunt. Up in northern Michigan. So first time I went up there, I shot tack with them this year. Great group of guys. I was like, yeah, I want to join for the deer camp. And I had like this mentality in my mind, like I have a plan. I want to run the plan. E-scouted, want to check everything out. And then when I got up there, it was more like community sharing pins. Like, hey, saw some acorns here. Like, go check it out. One of the guys like hunts up there consistently. So he's like, hey, you know, I got a couple spots that our early season, I don't plan on hunting them. Like, if you guys want to go. We're like, yeah, sure. You know, sounds good. So I went there in the morning, had a deer work through super far away, busted me. I'm like, I can't even see its head. Like, how is in cover, you know, but on pins and needles. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go back there in the afternoon. And I went back with another guy. And the guy who spot it was like, yep, they stay up top in the evening. And I was like, oh man, it's like a river bottom bog type thing and thick on the bottom. Acorns just raining up top. And I was like, I think they're gonna be coming out of the bottom. Like, I want to hunt in the bottom. He's like, no, sit up top. So the guy that I was going out with, he was like, let's split up. I was like, okay, you can sit up top. I'll sit on the bottom. And then, had a deer come out, exactly where I thought they were, kind of, I'm sitting in the stand looking 12 o'clock, they came out like my 5 o'clock, which is where, you know, the run that I kind of set up on. Mm-hmm. And, I thought I got busted cause I just saw some legs and then it just no movement, heard a deer blow. And I was like, ah, shoot, you know, that was my one chance. Turns out that deer was still there. It kind of worked backwards, back through the thick, saw some antlers, Nothing major, but I was like, oh, nice, a buck, you know? So I was trying to follow it, you know, if I can get a shot, I'll get a shot. But, so I swing all the way around this tree, and this tree is like, I can't even wrap my arms around it. It's huge, massive, massive oak. So I swing all the way around. And then as I'm following this guy left, another deer runs right, like right on the run that I was set up on. I swing all the way back around. And then, one came out behind it that was a little bit bigger. So, drew back, it hit my shooting lane, should have stopped it, but didn't stop it. You know, I haven't stopped deer before and have been fine, but turned out I hit it. I don't know how I hit it back. I mean, the shot placement, the hole looked fantastic, heart shot, but it was just an inch off, maybe. I don't know. But gut shot it. And, you know, so got down. Video looked good. It looked low, but I was like, okay, you know, heart's really low. So should be fine. You know, if worst case, I catch the liver, get down, check my arrow, and it's just yellow. I'm like, oh, shit. So just backed out immediately, left my stand, left my sticks, left the arrow, you know, left everything out there. And was like, I'm not making a sound. Like, this deer is within 200 yards of me right now, you know, probably laying down, you know, cause it's been an hour or so. So yeah, went back, took a group of guys out there, followed blood for about 90 yards or so. Decent blood. But no blood on the arrow, no blood at the shot site. We had to pick it up later. Lost it. Then we grid searched, walked all through this bog, the thick, and found a bunch of beds, no blood in the beds, like nothing. Got back to camp and I'm like, ah, oh, man, I had an opportunity. I shot a doe in the early doe season, deflected off a branch, hit her in the brisket, couldn't find it. I'm like, I can't just leave. I can't do that twice, you know, in a few weeks. So called a dog in, and I don't know how this dog found this track. You know, we had seven guys walking through here, grid searching. And I told the tracker up front, I was like, we had seven guys, laid it all out there, sent him the video. And he's like, oh, my dog will find it. I was like, okay, you know, so sure enough, I mean, 20 minutes later, dog ran right up to it, never bedded down. It just did a big loop and, got downwind, directly downwind of the stand and just fell over. I don't know.
No way.
Yeah, so it was weird.
Back up through the shot process then. So was it, what I'm picturing here is like, was it like quartering two and it looked like
perfectly broadside?
Shot?
Perfectly broadside.
How the hell did that get guts then?
You know, I wish I would have
deflect off a bone or something. I don't know.
It broke. It punched through both ribs, and I hit a rib on each side, sliced right through them. I wish I would have taken a picture. I didn't get a single picture of that deer except the one in the sled in the back of the truck. But I really wish, because it's like, if I would have show you that right behind the shoulder, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. It was a little one, so the only thing I can think is like little deer, little vitals, but I don't know.
Dude, that kind of makes me wonder though. If anyone is listening to this right now and like has had this happen before and they know what's going on, because I had a similar thing happen even during Wisconsin's rifle season last year, where I shot one low. I thought it was perfect right behind the shoulder, like money, and had like some like dark blood kind of, and I was thinking, okay, well, it's consistent enough, I should be fine, I'll go in and find it, and tracked it for 150 yards 175 yards, and I was like, what the hell is going on? It was starting to get into just like pins and needles and all that, and ended up catching up to it that afternoon. It was moving really slow but still up, and shot it, dropped it right there, and got up to it, and I like had broken its shoulder, but there was like bloody chunks of corn and like soybeans and like grass, like chewed cud and stuff like that. So I was like, is there some weird chamber of their stomach that's like further up towards the shoulder? Or is it something to do with like their esophagus that got hit, or like what on earth is going on? That's super strange though, man.
Interesting.
Were the vitals touched at all?
No, I didn't even puncture the diaphragm.
What on
earth? It was weird. You know, because you follow the deer leg up and the shoulder, you know, kind of makes that V towards the brisket, comes back, you know, and that's right where the heart is, right at the top of the leg. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. It was like 3 inches left of there. Like, and it was, so it was walking right to left. I hit it on the right side. And so if you're looking at it, the deer's facing to the right. I mean, 3 inches behind the leg.
how the hell does that even happen?
No idea. You know, maybe if I had a 3-inch 2-blade mechanical, I would have sliced the heart, but
there you go.
That's not my jam. So
setup. What the hell, man? That clearly they don't work now.
right.
Well, man, I'm glad you were able to have some success and get one on the ground so far. Do you feel like kind of like the meat monkey's off your back a little bit? You can kind of be like, all right, like I got one in the freezer, like now I can go full steam ahead, headed into the pre-rut and rut. I can just focus on a buck, or is it? What's your mindset like looking into the, like, how do you go about like harvesting deer throughout a season?
Yeah, you know, not yet, because last year I got 4 and like I ate 4 by myself. I'm the only one that eats venison. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I got a lot of work to do, but I should be good late season for does. I got a really good private land piece that's just loaded with them.
That's right.
So I should be fine, like meat wise, but, I'm sure we'll get into it. I had a really fun opening week and just got my ass kicked in. Didn't get on buck sign like at all. Never saw anything worth shooting. And I'm at that kind of that same level where it's like I'm putting pressure on myself to get a buck. You know, all that time scouting in the spring, everything that I did leading up to the season, it's like I want a reward for that. I want to have, you know, my hard work get paid off. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful. Don't get me wrong. It's a long season, you know, still got like four good weeks of hunting left. So, I'm confident I'll get it done. I want it now.
Right.
Right. I'm just impatient.
Yeah, no, totally, dude. And especially like right now, like mid-October, it's the toughest time of year to be patient and just like trust that it's going to happen. Trust that those bucks are going to start to daylight and the movement's going to pick up, and all of a sudden, you know, all hell will break loose and it'll be awesome. But yeah, it's like when you start putting in more and more time, like I feel pressure, and I know that they're not thinking it, but like I feel pressure from people around me who like I don't spend time with. Like last when you were on here over the summer, we're talking about, you know, being good partners to our spouses and stuff, and our significant others, and just communicating expectations and stuff. But like there's almost a little bit that's like, okay, like we've had all these conversations and like they know that I've put in all this work. It would feel kind of shitty if I didn't get anything out of it. And then like I feel like how do I justify it in the spring next year when I'm like, well, you didn't get any, or they're like, you know, you didn't get anything last year, so like do you really need, like the year before you got one, but you didn't do that much work. So like I don't know. Like I don't know. It's it's a slippery slope, but it's
right.
That's the fun of it. Because when that payoff does come, it's so worth it. Like it is so absolutely worth it, and worth all the stress and the time put in and all that.
That's what keeps us coming back year after year.
Exactly. It always gets tough too. It's like this is the time of year where it's like you wanna be like on social media so you can kinda like see like, oh, like they're seeing, you know, bucks chasing, or they're seeing scrapes open up, or they're seeing like stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like a bunch of kill pictures start showing up in your feed and you're like, oh man, I really got to catch up here. Like, and I don't know, the good and the bad of all of it. But
yep,
man. So you kind of, you mentioned in your hunt story there, swinging around, were you saddle hunting or stand hunting? Or hybrid?
So I would say all of my hunts have been hybrid this year. And the only reason why I say that is because I wear my saddle in the stand.
Right.
So I was mainly sitting down tree stand hunting. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I was set up right on a corner and they could either come out on my weak side of the stand, which then I would turn around and be the strong side with the saddle, or they would come out the strong side of the stand, and I would just stay, you know, stand hunting essentially.
Mm-hmm. Got it. The reason I asked this is because we kind of teased it when we talked over the summer, but you and I have both made the transition from saddle hunting for the past couple of years to now tree stand hunting or hang on stand hunting. And we teased it then, and we're about to dive into it here. The age-old debate of the saddle versus the stand. I don't know if it's age old now. I mean, saddle's been around forever, but they've had their resurgence in popularity over the past 5 years or so. And so what I really want to do is, you know, not what we're, folks listening, we're not going to beat a dead horse here and do stuff like the conversations we all listened to back in 2020 or 2021 when the saddle craze was really starting to blow up. Dave and I are going to dive in here. We're going to really unpack what we've learned from making this switch and, you know, having a couple years under our belt with the saddle and now transitioning to hunting out of a stand and running hybrid setups as well. So, man, to kick things off here, when it came to making the switch, let's start there. How have you liked it so far? And what have you noticed the most?
Yeah. So I changed everything up this year. So like you said, you know, was using a saddle exclusively for the last 4 or 5 years, something like that, 4 years. And so I got a new stand, and a new to me stand, and new sticks. Got the Beast Gear stand and sticks. I want them to mount together because that's what I hated about saddle is there's no good way to carry your platform and your sticks. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a million different widgets and products and blah, blah, blah. And as long, you know, you could have a pouch for your platform that makes it easy, you know, to strap it on, compress it in with your sticks, you know, so like there's good ways to, but with the, if anyone knows the B stand and sticks, you just screw it on and it's rock solid. You put your, you know, the straps on the stand and that's all you need. So, and I really wanted to ditch the backpack this year, for early season. So I have like an underseat pouch. And what I noticed is like, I don't carry anything into the woods with me anymore. No non-necessary items. Like I, you know, got my filming gear, which is just my camera, my phone, an Insta360, and then two little painted arrow mounts. And that's all I have. Audio recorder for audio, obviously. And then my bino harness with rangefinder and milkweed. And that's it. And I'm ready to hunt. So the time at the car is like nothing because I just throw on or change clothes, grab the stand and grab my bow and I'm good. There's no like digging through your bag, making sure you have it. Like it's so few items that it's just so simple. And that's like the first thing that I noticed. It's like, keep it simple, stupid, you know? Mm-hmm. And, that's what I've liked the most is the simplicity.
Right, dude, I'm 100% with you because I kind of reached that point last year where it was like, okay, so I take my platform with me, but I have to use like the strap, you know, to hang the platform. I use that. I run it once around like my pack. Like, I mean, my pack that I was using was kind of shitty anyways, but like, you know, basically I would attach my platform by cinching it down around the body of my pack. And then I had two big, like the night eyes, like the gear tie. Mm-hmm. Things that I would drop off of the back of my, basically where each backpack strap on my pack connects to the bottom of the pack. I would kind of like just hook those over there and then I would twist tie my climbing sticks. They'd lock together and I'd twist tie those together and then hang them down below. And it worked. But then after a while, it was kind of like, okay, I need my platform, my sticks. Need my saddle on. I need my lineman's belt. I need my tether. I need a separate strap. I need one of those other, like another hook to hang my bow off of the tree. And it got to the point where it was like, in order for me to be comfortable while I'm doing this, in order for me to like feel like I've got everything together, I have to go through such a long checklist. And it's reaching a point where it's like, is this, like, this is supposed to be more lightweight and efficient, you know what I mean? But is it actually more efficient? Because I feel like I'm wasting a hell of a lot of time remembering what stuff I need and also just the setup time alone. So I'm right there with you, man. I've noticed this year I'm running the XOP Retrograde. I've got one of their little SETI bow holders on the side of the platform. So as soon as I get my stand set in there, I just cinch it right, or, you know, hoist my bow up, knock an arrow, rest it in there, and I'm set. You know what I mean? Like, my setup time is probably shaved off. I mean, it's probably been cut in half, I would say, honestly. And I'm right there with you, dude. It's like, so you just have backpack straps on your stand.
Yep.
And that's been solid. And then bino harness. You don't carry any other pack.
Nope. So, and it's not a bino. It's not like the big boxy ones. It's just the ultra lightweight something. It's just straps essentially. So it could just be two pieces of paracord.
Yeah.
So binos, rangefinder, and then I took a pill bottle and then drilled a hole through the top, knotted a piece of paracord, and that's my milkweed carrier.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I like that setup.
And then on the stand, I have an underseat pouch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's key because that has my, I only run one rope. So the same lineman and tether, it's just one rope, has that. And then I run, Amsteel for my stand attachment, which I know that's kind of a debate in itself. And then my, my painted arrow mount, gear holder and back band for the saddle. That's all in the underseat pouch. And I made a video on it and going through all of this. And the one thing that I learned in that early doe season, it was, one night hunt. And I was like, I need a way to, carry just a little bit more stuff. And it's like, I know my pack is small. I got a really small one this year. And it's like, no, I don't want that. Like, I want to avoid it. So I just grabbed a pouch for my saddle. And then I put my release, extra batteries, audio recorder, the other mount, pair of clippers, stuff like that, that goes in the pouch. And then it's like, okay, now nothing's in my pocket, cause the saddle does cover your pockets. Right.
Yeah.
And my pants don't have like cargo pockets, so can't put anything in there. So I think once I put that pouch on the saddle, then it was like, okay, this is the setup. This is what I'm going with.
Totally. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I've been rocking the saddle as well. And I left both of my dump pouches that I had on either side of it on the saddle this year as well. I've been doing the same exact thing as you though, in that I've been using one rope for a dual purpose. And kind of the nice thing is like, you can do that because you've got a whole, once your stand is set, you have like an actual area that you can stand and then quickly just detach and then rig it up as a, safety harness and stuff like that. And so it's, or as a tether. So that is something that I've definitely enjoyed, but I'm totally with you that I really underestimated how much space is actually in those little dump pouches on the side of your, on your saddle and stuff there. Cause I've been using I stuff gloves in there. I never wear gloves, but this year for some reason, I'm like, I got these, like, I think it's the Huntworth Talus glove, but it's the index finger and the thumb are fingerless. And the rest of it is, like covered. They're super thin, super lightweight, and they have awesome grip. And it's the first hunting glove that I've actually been like, I can actually work with this. I'm not like, I've got the dexterity where I need it. And we're like, I like to, I mean, cause prior to that, I was just like, screw this. I had one of those like bow gloves that like has the little hole for your release and everything through it.
Those suck.
But yeah, they are a great idea on paper, but they never actually translate to, working properly in the woods. But yeah, so for stuff and everything like headlamps, flashlights, knife in there, like everything I've been throwing in those dump pouches to go along with it.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
And I will say I have a kill kit in the car. So like if I get one, I'll walk back, drop the stand, drop the sticks. I'll usually leave my bow out there and then grab the kill kit, grab the sled, change whatever I got to do, then head back to go track it. And that has, my bags, my gloves, the pole harness, the knife, all that sort of stuff. So I don't have to worry about any of that. But for late season, as it's starting to get a little bit colder, I'll probably add that second dump pouch on for the hat and the gloves, because I usually just shove them in my pockets and that's pretty uncomfortable because it's so bulky. But for gloves, dude, you got to try the First Light, the fingerless. All five fingers are fingerless and they're 100% merino. I freaking love those things. Those are great.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever feel like your grip is less than, cause there's something about if I'm going to wear gloves, like, I don't know, I'm just a freak about dexterity. And it's like, I worry that something's going to slip through my hands or I'm not going to have a good grip or anything like that. Have you noticed any issues with that?
So I usually don't walk in with gloves or anything. So like when I'm climbing, I instead have bare hands, but getting down, I usually wear them all the way back out to the car. And I can't remember a time where the grip scared me or anything like that, where it gave out. No.
Even like bow in hand, like shooting with them, you feel good with them?
Yeah, you don't even know they're on. You really don't. Because they're tight, they're form-fitting. You know, luckily they have XLs, I got big hands. So they fit great. And I wear them year-round, really. And they hold up phenomenally.
That's good to know. I might have to check those out. I definitely might. So circling back to our stand conversation there, it's went down the gear rabbit hole there a little bit. But what have you noticed in terms of like the trees you're able to get into? Do you think you are more limited now that you're, you know, in a stand, or do you think the inverse, or have you noticed any difference really?
I think it's unlocked more actually, because this year I've been hunting more bushes, let's say, or, you know, low scrub trees, autumn olives and stuff like that. And you cannot saddle hunt in those. No matter. I don't care if you're Eberhardt, like you're not getting in those because it's so bushy. You have to sit and face outwards. Like you can't face it. Right. So, you know, I prepped a couple trees like that, where I can get a stand in, and it's like, there's no way to get you could have a platform. But your back is to the tree, and that kind of defeats the purpose of saddle hunting. Mm-hmm. You might as well have a stand and sit down. So I think it's unlocked more in terms of that. There was a couple of times where it was like a split trunk or something, or a crotch or a branch, where I had to turn it a little wonky because the platform's obviously much longer than a saddle platform. So you just got to be flexible, I would say, with that. Know that when you're setting up, and like, okay, how do I adjust for that? That's happened a couple of times, but other than that, there hasn't been anything that has limited me or kept me out of the tree that I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I started saddle hunting because the whole thing was like, well, you can get into any tree. It's ultra light. It's supposed to be mobile. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the more and more I hunted, the more I was like, this tree's too big for me to, you know, saddle hunt out of, or it's too brushy, or it's too whatever. Like there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to actually like hunt out of this effectively. And this year, dude, I have been finding it's like any tree I want, it seems I can be like, I could squeeze a stand in there, weasel that in and make that work. And like, I've been very, very impressed by how just versatile the stands have been.
Yeah.
And everything. And just like rock solid too. You know what I mean? Like I'm not worrying ever about like, you know, sometimes like the platform gets a little spongy when you're, you know, swinging out of it and stuff, or like maybe you didn't get it to bite totally, you know, well and everything. Like, dude, I feel so locked in. Like as soon as I get that sand, you know, I do like the whole, kick out thing and like
toe cam. And,
the toe cam. And like, dude, I have not had a single issue with it yet. And I like that I'm a part of the tree when I'm sitting there facing out, and I'm not leaning out away from it. I'm not an additional trunk. I'm not anything that's like protruding from the tree, I guess. You know what I mean? And it kind of like, I didn't really realize it until this year, obviously, but like when you're sitting at the trunk looking out, you've got so much more cover. And you've also got more room from all, because, you know, like the branches, they branch out from the tree. And then from where they branch out even further. So like the thickest, nastiest, like the most twigs and everything are typically 3 to 5 feet off the trunk. You know what I mean? But if you can weasel yourself back in against the trunk and not be leaning out into that and worrying about like, oh, like I don't have any room to actually sit here or lean back, or again, I'm having a hard time, you know, turning and pivoting and stuff. But if you're tucked up against the trunk, one, you have a backrest, and two, you've got more cover, and three, you're not in any of the mess. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And I will say, you know, the pictures that make saddle hunting look awesome on Instagram is not how you should hunt in a saddle, mm-hmm. right? The ones you're hanging off, you know, like shooting the 6 o'clock and you're on the tiptoes of the edge of the platform and you're 5 feet away from the tree dangling there. It's like, yeah, it looks cool for Instagram, but deer is going to pick you off real quick, you know? So if you're using it properly and shooting, you know, if you're right-handed, that like kind of 12 o'clock to 9 o'clock, let's say, hiding yourself behind the tree and everything like that. Then you got, you know, that, like I said, that's how you use it. But when you're hanging off or you're trying to move around, that's when the saddle has a disadvantage, I would say, over the stand, in terms of concealing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And that, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of, I was going to save the questions that we posted a poll on each of our social media pages in preparation for this, with like asking folks to like submit questions for this discussion here. One of the ones that our good buddy Josh Raley submitted was, why does saddle hunting look so freaking cool? And I think I think he was just bullshitting me when he asked it, but it kind of brought up a good point there, because you're right. You do see on YouTube and on, you know, in all the ads and stuff like that, you see some dude dangling off a tree to that 6 o'clock, you know, drawn back, and like, you know, the panoramic or like the fisheye image of like the tether coming down and they're strapped in. And there's like just everything in front of them is gorgeous and all that. Mm-hmm. It does look freaking cool. I will admit it looks pretty freaking cool. But I think the number of times that I've found myself being like, damn it, I can't get around this tree, or this like deer is not playing the game and comes into my weak side anyway, or, you know, I have this tether in front of me now and I can't, like, I gotta get my bow and like weasel it under it or over it or however I'm gonna do this thing. And when you see the videos and you see like, oh, well, like in a perfect scenario, this is exactly how a saddle. Now I know that there's people out there who are just absolute assassins in their saddles. So maybe, and it probably is the case that I'm just not a great saddle hunter. And so I'm just, you know, I had been doing it for 3 years. So I was like, I had my system ironed mm-hmm. out, but, and I mean, shot my first buck out of a saddle, you know, it does work. And I like the ability to move around, and, you know, you do have all those angles, but I don't think that, at least for me right now, the type of hunting that I'm doing and the places that I'm hunting, I don't think that it's enough for me to really want to pick the saddle over the stand right now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think, just for right now. And I say that hesitantly, because as it was slowly coming out there, I was thinking to myself, well, but what about this and what about that? And there are definitely scenarios that I do still want the saddle, and we'll get to that here. You know what? Let's just dive right into that. Actually, we've gassed up the stands here quite a bit. What are the scenarios that you're like, I still want a saddle for this?
Yeah. So perfect example. The story that I posted, that kayaker going by me and the people walking on the trail, like that tree. I was saddle hunting out of it, you know, with the stand, and I needed to shoot. So facing the tree, I needed to shoot, everything from like 11 o'clock through 8 o'clock. They could have came from, or directly 3 o'clock. So like two opposing sides of the tree, and with how the tree was growing, there was branches. Like if I'm facing the tree and the saddle on the opposite side of the trunk, there is a bunch of branches. So getting a stand on that other side, so I'd be able to shoot, you know, both ways and be facing the direction that I need to be facing, was not possible. So if I would have turned around in the stand and been facing the opposite way, I wouldn't have been able to see, you know, it was overlooking a CRP field. Like you can see like usually the antlers coming through, at least the tops of the CRP. So I had to be facing the CRP field. So I had to be set up on that side. So that, you know, that unlocked that tree for me. I did saddle hunt that tree last year or 2 years ago. I can't remember. But I could only shoot one of those ways. I couldn't shoot both of them, just because the size of the tree. It's a big tree. So yeah, that's one example where it was, I had to have it. And then I would say when I shot my deer this year, it was, if they come out this way, I'll turn around and perfect strong side saddle shot. If they come out that way, then it's a perfect strong side stand spot. So I had both of those options. So it was both. And then the majority of the other hunts that I've had was just, kind of straight on sitting in the stand.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah. I was kind of racking my brain on that. And it's like, I do like the saddle, I think, for, especially if I can set up in a way that I can arrange myself that I'm like leaning fairly parallel with the tree trunk, but on those telephone pole type trees and stuff that don't have a lot of cover, don't have a lot of forks or anything like that, I do kind of like the saddle there. So at least you can, get yourself in line with that, and you can try and put the tree between yourself and the animal there when mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of cover. I am a big fan of that.
For sure.
But at the same time, though, like, I did get nailed a few times last year where I was just, I mean, part of it, my issue, we'll get to this here, I can't sit still while I'm saddle hunting. As much as I try, and like, I've got like an old tethered mantis and stuff, and it's got a fixed bridge. And so I'm sure like having something that's more adjustable and all that, I'm running like the, it's designed specifically for hybrid hunting, but the XOP Mondo harness.
Oh, yeah.
I've enjoyed that quite a bit. I'm going to experiment with their holiday one here shortly, I think, because that's like super cheap. And it's like basically a little mini rock climbing harness. Like, it's super minimalist, but it just has one loop in the front. So you can still whip out and, it's not, you don't want to all day sit in the thing in saddle mode, obviously, but it's one that I'm very excited to give a chance to. In the coming weeks here, especially as the rut turns around, and it's just going to be kind of one of those deals of like, get your butt in the stand and whatever tree it needs to be, like, you're going to figure out how to hunt it and you're going to do it well. But, where's I going with that? Oh yeah. Not to tally another one for the stand, but I have noticed that I'm much stiller and I don't spook as many deer. My back doesn't give me as many issues.
You use the back band in the saddle?
I did use the back band out of the saddle. It kind of reached a point where it was like, full disclosure, that was the thing where I was like, here's another piece of gear that I got to freaking worry
about. Yeah, right.
Because then the days that I, like, after I bought it, and then I was like, one day I didn't need it. And so I left it in the car, and then I forgot it in the car. And I was like, son of a gun, like, now I would really like it and I don't have it. Do I get down and like, or am I just going to know that the next few hours are going to be less comfortable than they could be and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just the rigmarole of that. I don't know.
So I will say that standing vertically, I would prefer a saddle over the stand, which, like, when I'm in the stand, I'll stand for like usually the last hour, prime time. Mm-hmm. And I fidget a lot more because how the cables come back on the post. Mm-hmm. It's very narrow in the back there. And then if you don't want your feet super far out in front of you when you're leaning back on the tree, like, you got to have your heels close to the tree, right? And it gets pinched in those cables, which gets uncomfortable. And then you got to turn a little bit and you got to adjust. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the saddle, you're just kind of more locked in, for me at least. Less movement when I'm not seated. Because I sit in the saddle too. I'll sit down, knees against the tree. But I would say in the stand, I'm less movement there. But in the saddle, standing more upright, just kind of leaning against the back or leaning against the saddle, then that's a lot less movement there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. I will say too, because I've had a similar issue with the cable situation there. I think it is much easier if you do have to take a weak side shot to get yourself oriented quietly and smoothly on a saddle platform than it is on a stand. You know what I mean? Because I found myself this year, granted, I intentionally went for the smaller platform, you know, but, you know, trying to turn around and then it's like, oh shit, my boot tread is like wedged against the cable, but I don't want to like pop the cable, or I don't want to like pop the lug on my boot and, you know, make a big ping sound or anything like that. And so I'm like trying to like shuffle around, but I don't have that much room. And so, you know, doing all that, whereas it's just like, oh, it's coming to the opposite side of the tree. Well, then I'll just slowly pivot around the platform here, nice and smooth, and then I'll be able to shoot that way. I don't know.
True. Another one for the saddle is taking a nap in the saddle is so much easier than the stand.
Okay, interesting. I've never attempted.
Really?
What's the saddle nap strategy here?
Oh, man. So I always had like a little hand towel, a rag towel in my pack. And then I'd fold it up into quarters, put that over the carabiner. And I use a ascender. So metal ascender, metal carabiner, put that over. And then you crisscross your arms through your bridge and lock your arms in together. So then you can't like fall. And you just lay your head down, man. You're locked in.
Dude, that's genius.
That's the way to go. You get in super early in the morning, you snuggle on up, lock yourself in, lay down, put your head down. Next thing you know, you wake up and the birds are chirping and it's time to hunt.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Chalk another one up for the dump pouch. Stuff a little hand towel in there so you can do that. Because that was the issue that I had last year where I would, you know, like 1 or 2 o'clock would roll around and I wouldn't have seen anything for a while. And I'd be like, oh man, I'm starting to get really, a nap sounds pretty good right here. And I go to like lay my head down, but it was like on that carabiner and I was like, son of a gun. And then I put my hands over it, but then like it would pinch my fingers and all that. That's a hell of a tip right there.
Oh yeah.
That's one of the hottest tips I think I've heard on this show in quite a while, man.
Oh, dude, there's nothing better than a nap in the tree. And then you wake up and it's like 10 minutes before legal light and you just hear the woods come alive. Like, dude, those are the perfect mornings to me.
Right. Absolutely, man. So, and like, you never sleep harder than when you're outside.
Right.
Like in that scenario when you've been, you got up, or even like, I don't know, like the mid morning I used to, like the first couple of years that I turkey hunted, I would just get like worn out and I wouldn't be, you know, geared up for it. Now I'm just like, go, go, go. And I'll sleep later. But, like that first couple of years there, like 11 o'clock would roll around and I would just slide my pack up at the bottom of a tree, lay down for a little bit, take a snooze. If a gobble sounded off near me, and then I'd perk up and see if I could get him to respond. But yeah, dude, you sleep hard when you're out in the field like that. I was talking to a guy today. He's like, yeah, get out in the, you know, we were going to go duck hunting. And he was like, yeah, I like getting there early, like 4:30 or so, and then get out there, get to the spot. And then after that, it's like, you can sleep in the boat until, you know, it's time to throw decoys out and get everything situated. I was like, that sounds like a pretty darn good time, honestly. Like, not bad. So, I guess, I don't know, it's tough to make a definitive statement here. At this point in the season, as we head into the pre-rut, how are you, I guess, which way are you leaning? Because you've hunted out of the saddle, you've hunted hybrid, you've hunted out of the stand this year, you've done a little bit of everything. Do you have any definitive, like, stance, I guess, right now, where you're just like, all right, November 3rd, hitting the woods, and obviously it's spot dependent, but if we were to say, Dave, we're sending you onto this public, here's a pin, here's how you get to it, good luck, but you've never been in there before, you have no idea what these trees look like, which setup are you reaching for?
I don't change the setup. So, everything's always the same.
Okay.
Right. So right. the stand, the sticks, I wear the saddle in, everything like that. So if I'm going in the dark, you know, yeah, you're a lot more challenging to go in blind if you don't have a tree picked out and prepped. But that was like all opening week for me was just going in blind and just figuring it out. But you just kind of wait till that first light and then kind of look around. And I don't have a problem I put my top stick, and this kind of gets into one of the questions that I got. I put the top step of the top stick in line with the stand platform, if that makes sense. Yeah. So they're on the same plane. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind taking a step, getting on the step and adjusting my stand, you know, 15, 20 degrees, something like that.
That's super smart.
Because it's easy. You loosen it up. Like I have the Amsteel, or even with a cam buckle, it's already wrapped around and everything. So you just loosen it, turn it, reset it, and you're back in the stand in less than 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. Is it extra movement? Is it extra noise? Yes. But if that sets you up for the position that you need to be in to have a good shot, then you know that's what you got to do. So I would just say that, you know, I just hunt hybrid every single time, and whatever the tree gives me, whatever the spot gives me, that's what I do. So no preconceived, unless I prep the tree, you know. So if I prep the tree, then I know exactly what I'm going to do. But if I'm just going in blind, or even scouting my way in and just finding a tree, and you just look like, okay, well, this sets up better for this way or that way, and you just kind of play it by ear.
Totally. On the note of going hybrid there and saddle hunting out of the stand, I know this is one of the questions that you got. Have you had any issues with stands, like, because you're further out from the tree than you are on a saddle platform, so naturally, like, you're able to put more lateral force against the stand. Have you had any issues with the stand wanting to lean or rotate or do anything sketchy when you
kick out? Yeah, yeah, no, I haven't. And I would say if you're treating the stand like you would your saddle platform, meaning standing on the outer edge, I would not recommend that. I don't do that because typically in a saddle platform, that's your main, that's where your feet, you know, live the entire hunt, is right on that front edge, all the way, you know, furthest out from the tree. And that's where you're leaning. For me, at least, that's how I always hunted. You're not doing that in a stand because, you know, I have the B stand. It's a big stand. You know, so it's 22 inches, I think, long or something like that. You know, so you're really far out from the tree, and that lever arm is very big. So I would never even consider putting side force on the stand that far out. That's just a recipe for disaster. You know, maybe if I had two cam straps, you know, at the top and the bottom Versa button cinched down, it's toe cammed, like, then I would probably feel safe doing that, but I don't. So you just got to know, you know, the limitations of your setup. So what I do is, like I said, I have that stick on that same plane. So if I do have to wrap around and shoot, you know, the 12, 1 o'clock, something like that, then I can put my left foot on the stick, my right foot on the platform, swing out that way. And where you're putting the side pressure on the stand at that point then is like right on the post.
Right.
So it's really not, there's no risk of it kicking out if it's set properly. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not, the Amsteel that I have is the same thing that the Hang Free and the Amsteel guy, the USA or whatever it is, but I have the Trucker's Hitch version. So it loops back on itself and it gets really tight. Like it leaves gouges in the tree. It gets very, very tight, locks in there. I feel very safe with it. So putting that side pressure just with one foot, no problem. You know, if I was leaning both feet, leaning way back, maybe that would get sketchy. But just understand the physics of it a little bit, where that lever arm, where you're putting that force, and you know, it's not an issue. Then if you have to go the other way, then you're just in the stand, then you just turn, you know. Mm-hmm. So by having, well, I should also say, to make it a little bit more clear, when you're climbing the tree, you know, you're the tree's in front of you. I set the stand at the 3 o'clock. So if I'm sitting in the stand, the sticks are to my right. So when I turn, that's the weak side. I'm right-handed. That's the weak side tree stand shot. So then when I get on, when I rotate, I can get the strong side saddle shot, and that's where my step is. So it's only 90 degrees off of where I'm sitting, right perfectly in line, so my legs aren't uneven, anything like that. So that's where it gives me that extra little step to swing around more safely.
Totally. Yeah, dude. I wondered if that was part of your formula there when you were talking about leveling the platform and that top step. Cause I was the first thing that jumped in my mind was like, huh, I bet you could like step off onto that really easily and get around a tree. Mm-hmm. That's genius. And even better so to be doing that on your strong side saddle shot or on your weak side stand shot.
Yeah.
That's super, super smart. And just like well thought out. Like that's, that's like one of those things. It's like, if you're not doing that already, you probably just were like, oh, duh.
That makes sense. you know, because the stand, like you said, we're both new to the stand. So mm-hmm. I practiced a lot in the off season, setting it up. And I was doing it the opposite way, because usually with the saddle platform, I don't know, for some reason, I always had it facing the tree. It was at the 9 o'clock. So the platform would be sticking out to the left. And because I like to tighten with my, you know, right hand. So I would hold the platform with my left against the tree, tighten with the right. And that worked out well. So that's what I started doing on the stand. And then I realized, one, my bow holder is on the left side. So that's another thing that you could potentially trip on or hit or clank against or anything like that. So like, oh, I should get off on the right side. And then once I started doing that and then switching, you know, how am I going to saddle hunt out of this and doing that, I was like, wait a minute, if I level that out with the top step, that allows me to swing out a little bit easier, be able to get, you know, more of that shot angle. And it's worked out great. So I have to hold the stand against the tree with my right hand, tighten with the left. That's the only downside. But you know, that it's a very minor downside compared to the advantages.
Right. Definitely. When, I'll tell you what, man, when it comes to setting up the stand, like actually like physically hanging it as compared to like the platform, that is where I had a really tough time the first few times getting used to it. Cause it's so much bigger than just going from, you know, a little 3 pound platform or whatever it is that you can just manhandle and slap it around the tree. And you can, like, if you wanted to, you could even like wrap the whole platform and like connect it hand to hand, you know, around the trunk of the tree if you wanted to, and like hand it off that way. Whereas this thing, like you said, you got to hold it in place and get your cable or your strap around and stuff. And I'm sure it's different with the Amsteel. One of the best tips that I've seen, I'm kicking myself for not remembering who shared it. I want to say it was maybe Jace Allen. I'm not sure, but when he was up in the tree and he had his lineman's belt around it, he would lift the platform so that lift the seat so that it was like parallel to the post. He would feed it up underneath his lineman's belt. So it was like through the inside. And then he would rotate around the tree just enough so that he could get the stand post situated where he wanted it, and then he would lean back the other way so his lineman's belt would pin it to the tree, and then that way he could hook up, wrap it around, but it wasn't going anywhere because it was cleated and had all that side pressure.
Yeah,
body weight.
That's a good idea. That's like when you're one sticking and you slide the stick all the way up to remount it, they have a groove in the front edge of that platform exactly for that, so your tether, it sticks right up against your tether, pins it against a tree so you can wrap it around.
Really?
That's a feature on one sticks. Yeah. So that makes sense. You know, that was another thing that you mentioned is your linesman. That has screwed me up a couple of times, actually. I haven't really figured that out 100% yet. Because my lineman, on one side of it, I have the quick link, a Kong quick link, not one from Home Depot, an actual climbing rated tip, there. And then I have, you know, my carabiner and my Kong duck on it. So it's not like I can just slip the rope through the back of the post. So if I have the lineman anywhere where the stand is going to be mounted, you know, it has to be above where the Amsteel is going to be, above the teeth, or below the bottom standoff bracket, the teeth. So that's one thing that I haven't quite figured out. Typically, I put my linesman way up high, like head level, you know, because I'm standing on either, depending on the setup, I'm either standing on the top of the second to last stick or the bottom step of the top stick and kind of scrunching down a little bit, bending my knees. So I can take that linesman and have it up high and still lean back and be fine. But that's something that I've ran into issues before, where you set the stand and your linesman's behind the post and you're like, oh shit, I gotta take the stand back off and feed it back through. But with your strap, what I do is, since I have the trucker's hitch and I have the Prusik, I have three connections on it. I'll line all that up before I even take the stand off my back. So I'll pull my finger, you know, 4 inches away from the tree, put the loop, wrap it around, get the trucker's hitch set, and then pull the Prusik. So it's like, you know, 4 or 5 inches off the tree. I tuck those ends into my lineman, grab the stand, and then those ends are just right there. And I can tighten it up that way. So the strap's already set by the time I get the stand off my back.
Got it.
Yeah.
Damn, that's pretty slick. Huh.
So then you're not adjusting it. Because like, if you're trying to adjust knots or adjust your cam buckle when the stand is up against the tree, you got to put it in your mouth, or, you know, you got to do something. You need two hands, really. So if you preset all of that, makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Have you always done the Amsteel thing? For like, do you use Amsteel in your like climbing sticks and everything as well?
Yeah, so I DIY'd my climbing sticks. Okay. I put the, if anyone's familiar with the tethered Skeletor, the Dynalock, where that you make the X in it with the Amsteel, the rope mod, I put those on my B sticks. And so I call them B stores. But I love Amsteel. All of my saddle platforms always have the USA Amsteel attachment on it. I'm a big fan of it. When I was practicing, I practiced the stand with the cam strap, but I quickly went to the Amsteel.
Got it. I'm gonna have to give that a shot. I've been running, so like last year, past 2 years, I just used daisy chain, the webbing sort of stuff, and it was light and it got me by just fine. But it was also a massive pain in the ass if you didn't have a tree that synced up perfectly. Because if it synced, like if you could easily get the loop over the button, you were going to slide down 6-8 inches when you went to like set that stick. But if it was hard, then it was fine. It was like just a huge pain to actually get the thing on and off. So I don't know. I've been enjoying using like the buckle straps. This year at the very least. I'm only two sticking it this year too. I've got two sticks with aiders right now. I've been really, really happy with that so far this year. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that
I've been carrying that. Four. The bottom has a two-step Amsteel aider on it. Very rarely have I needed all four. It's typically three that I get. The only time I've ever used it and stretched it out was I was in just row pines, essentially, so zero cover, and I was like, I just need to get as high as possible. And that one, I put the stand way above the top stick and climbed up in it. But that fourth stick is usually just for the hybrid setup. And if I know if I'm just tree stand hunting, then I'll just leave the fourth stick on the ground. But yeah, if I got one more two step aider, I'd probably go down to three sticks then.
Totally. Yeah, I got two of the Lone Wolf cable aiders, they're 20-inch ones. And that's, I mean, even in the dark, like just the other night, climbing down and like actually being able to feel where your foot's at in that loop and like tap your boot against it and like not be guessing, like, okay, where is this, like, you know, rope or webbing or whatever the, you know, the other aider material is and stuff like that is very, very nice. I've been super happy with that.
Yeah. Yep.
Man, what other questions did you get from our lovely participants in our poll?
Yeah, so how do you hang your bow in the stand? So I have the Genesis 3D bow hanger, and nothing against that. I don't like the idea of a bow hanger because it's completely unsupported. If anything were to happen, and something did happen last weekend, I was in a left-leaning tree, but it wasn't too bad. So the bow was secure. I was sitting in the bow hanger. But when I stood up to turn around to put the Insta360 mount above my head on the tree, you know, in mobile stands, they flex, right? They're not rock solid. So with that little bit of flex, that left lean, there goes the bow. Luckily, I was only like 8 feet off the ground. I was only one stick high, thankfully. And, you know, the whole season, I've just like, I'm always like, I tuck my left leg in like really tight. Like I'm very conscious. I don't even like want to get close to my bow. If I'm shifting around, I always have my hand on my bow. And then if you're standing, your bow is so low that you got to like bend way down. So I'm like, right. I don't like, and again, it's nothing against Austin's product. Everyone, you know, a lot of people make bow holders, but they're all the same. It's just two little rods that, you know, hold your bow in there. So I just don't really like that. And I haven't figured out a good way yet. I'm going to try to use my gear hanger. And, you know, I have that hook on the side of my bow that for saddle hunting. So I'm going to try that, but then it's on the opposite side of the bow. So like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do to hang my bow moving forward.
Right.
Got to figure that out.
I had a very similar thing happen. Luckily it was, just in the backyard, similar kind of thing. I just wanted to practice shooting out of my stand. And so I only had it at like 3 feet or so, but like I stepped off to, you know, get down and go retrieve my arrows, and just that little flexion just like rocked it up. And I just like, I didn't think twice about it, but I just like hopped off, and then all of a sudden I heard, look back, my bow was on the ground. I was like, no way. Like, I'm with you there. Those things are, they're handy, but they're just a little sketchy. Do I like it more than having to carry an extra strap and an extra, I'm blanking on the name of the thing. It's like a carabiner, but it's got a separate hook that like
hero clip.
The hero clip. Yes. I don't know. I didn't mind it last year. That was like the one piece of gear that I didn't mind. But this year I'm like, well, I can just tuck it right here. But at the same time, now it's like, if I have a branch that's like next to me or overhanging, would it be better for me to just like do it that way anyways? Or I'm not really sure yet, but
yeah,
I don't know. I might try toying around with that.
Yeah, it's tough. I always have a big hero clip, a small one, and then an S beaner on me always. Because I've dropped stuff out of the tree and used that hero clip to bring it back up. Actually, it works well. Well, for it's not designed for that, but it still gets the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, funny that now there's like actual like the little, is it Tethered who makes like the little like triple hook, like little treble hook sort of thing, like you can just like specifically for just that, like
yeah, Beast Gear has one, they call it the hooker. but yeah, I don't know how people carry those into the woods, because I think the Tethered one folds up at least, but
yeah
and the other one, my buddy at Doe Patrol was like, are you shooting heavy arrows to compensate for something? yes I am.
one of the most serious ones that we got was which of the options between, and we're both running hybrid, so it may not matter, but between the saddle and the stand, which is easier to pee out of?
Oh yes
I think the stand is easier to pee out of. I think the stand is easier to pee out of. The saddle is more fun to pee out of.
Because you got to completely rotate over. You got to roll over.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Spider-Man pee.
Yep. I fully pee out of the tree, just right down. If you can get it on the trunk, then hey, it's a little bit quieter, but then you're peeing on your sticks and shit, you know? So yeah, it is what it is.
Right. That. I was worried about like, are they going to smell my pee 15 feet up in a tree and be like, why is their pee that high in the, like, off the ground? Like, this doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
I think they would smell you and just be like, oh, it's a human, and then just get out of there.
Just a dumbass up there.
But good Sit Mobile guy, Brian, he posted, he was like, there was a hole in the branch next to him. He's like, I peed in this three times. It was a possum's head was sticking out. He's like, sorry, little buddy. I had a kick out of that one.
Oh, man.
What else? Oh, another tip too. So my buddy Eric is doing the same thing now, hunting hybrid, and we were going over ways, because he actually ended up wearing a harness and was like, yeah, I couldn't figure out a good way to mount my tether with the saddle. So what I do there is, like, my lower back curves in, like when you have, you know, lumbar support in the car, like I push that lumbar support all the way out. I don't know if I have good posture or what, but I have like a divot in my back. So that my lower back never touches the tree. So I keep that tether around the tree, kind of where my back doesn't touch the tree, you know, because if you're leaning against your rope, that's going to be really uncomfortable. And then I shorten my bridge almost all the way down. I'm rocking the Latitude Method 2. So it has that adjustable bridge with a Prusik. And I actually ended up just folding it in half, essentially. So I have, you know, I tightened it halfway, and then I have the other end tied on the other side. So it's looks like it's two bridges, but I just clip into both because it's, I don't want to accidentally clip into the wrong line and not be supported. So short bridge, and then I have the knot, or I have the tether attached on my right side. So I can turn, if I'm sitting in the stand, tree's on my back, your strong side's the left, you can turn that way, fine, get the shot off. But if you need to rotate right for a strong side saddle shot, you have to have that slack on your right side. And again, if you're left-handed, flip it. But if it was off to your left and you rotate right, that's going to tighten it and you're not going to be able to get that full rotation. So that was another tip that I had to, took me a bit to figure that out, but I think I got it pretty well figured out now. I have it like attached on the side, so the quick link like isn't in my back or anything like that. And then it gives me a little bit more room to rotate around. And then when you stand up, you know, you got to loosen it a little bit, but that's the best way to get attached to the tree that I found.
Totally. Yeah, that's one that I started. I screwed it up the one time, and then after that, I was like, oh, dummy. Why don't you get it so you can actually move sometime?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, dude, I don't have any more questions here on the saddle stand debate, but I am curious, before we wrap up, it's October 18th right now. Mm-hmm. What are your plans for the upcoming pre-rut, rut, and so on? What do you got lined up for this year?
Yeah. So, you know, here in Michigan, rifle season starts November 15th and the woods just die. Everything gets shot on the 15th. So like my season ends on the 14th, essentially. Cause I don't rifle hunt anymore. I just bow hunt now. So I take those 2 weeks off and then, I get back out in the woods in December. So I really like, I have the next 2 weeks of good pre-rut action, and then kind of that first week in November is good rut action. And then I found, you know, kind of that like 10th through the 14th is not as good chasing wise. I don't know if that's like the lockdown, quote unquote lockdown period or what. So really I like to hit it as hard as I can kind of from now until the 4th, 5th, 6th, maybe 7th, depending on the weather and stuff like that. But, you know, we're getting cold mornings. When I shot my deer, you know, luckily that night it got down to 33 and I was like, oh, good. One, it's good deer hunting. Two, it means fall's here. And three, it didn't spoil the meat. Right. But, you know, so just playing the cold fronts. The wind has been weird this year. We're having a lot of like south winds, which is odd for
a damn hurricane.
Yeah, right. One of my best spots, I couldn't hunt. Well, it was a spot with the kayaker. Like, I really need a strong northwest wind, and we just haven't had any northern winds. I got a couple other spots with east winds that, like, if this time of year, if it's a strong east wind, like, I'm hunting it. I don't care what I got going on. Like, that's what I got to do. So, you know, I got a couple of my ruts, cruising spots, I call them, where they had really good sign in it from last year. I got two spots that I'm really, really monitoring. I have 2 years of history with. So I got cameras up there and I'm kind of just waiting for them to fire off, hoping that the buck sticks on his pattern for the third year in a row. I'm hoping it didn't get killed, but, yeah, so I'm on two of them that I know I'll be chasing. And then just sitting those, you know, downwind to doe bedding in thick cover, like thick trail coming through, and just, you know, those are like my rut cruising spots. That'll be my last ditch effort the first week in November, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, dude, there's a special kind of desperation that sets in that time of year when it's like, this has to work. Come on. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man. Well, dude, I'm super excited for, I'm excited for the coming weeks. I'm excited to see, and I'm sure we'll be going back and forth here as we both start getting into the woods a little bit more and seeing some of the action heat up here. But I'm excited to see what you're able to put on the ground this fall, because although we're anxious about it now, I'm sure that it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. For you, at least. Court's still in session, or jury's still out on whether or not something's going to line up for me. Man, before we wrap up, you're putting out some awesome YouTube content content. Dude, where can folks go to follow along with you and your season and the awesome stuff you got coming out?
Yeah, so barefoot_dave_ both YouTube and Instagram. Trying to put a little bit more effort in the YouTube videos, and man, let me tell you, it's a lot of extra work. The doe video that I had, like, I was not expecting like 20 hours of editing, but granted, I'm new to it, you know, so I know it'll get down. It's like, do I want to do that for every video? But it came out great. So I'm like, I don't know. It's one of my best videos, you know? But yeah, barefoot_dave_ is where people can follow along. I've plugged, Painted Arrow, just got on their pro staff crew. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I was pretty excited.
Awesome,
so they make some awesome, camera mounts and stuff like that. So, you know, check them out. If you haven't, hit me up with any questions. If you're in the Metro Detroit area and want to get out, let me know. That's where I'm located at. But,
pins.
Yeah, nah, I'll go out and scout with you. I'll help you find pins. I'm not going to go hunt them. I won't hunt them underneath you, one of my buddies got a freaking giant, bigger deer than I have ever shot last year, after we went out scouting. So yeah.
Hell yeah.
That was a fun one. Walked in, it was like the 28th, and just like scrape, 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 rub, rub, rub. Found the pattern. It was like, I think it's this wind. 6 days later, he went in there and killed him.
I think you told me about that buck, like one of the first times you and I exchanged messages or something like that.
God, yeah, that was so fun.
Yeah, that thing was a tank, now that I'm remembering it. Yeah,
it was a 10, yeah. Especially for this area.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, dude. Well, buddy, I just heard the girlfriend get home, so I'm going to go see what mm-hmm. she's up to. And I know you, it's what, 4 o'clock your time?
4,
yeah. Almost, yeah, 4 your time. But
time to hit the gym, get a run in.
There you go. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. But I think it'll be, are you getting out this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be out tomorrow morning. Right on. The wife wants me to stay home tomorrow or Sunday, but I'm like, I don't know. It's getting to be that time. You got to get out of the woods.
There's a warm front coming. There's a warm front.
It is. It's hitting us right now. Yeah. Tomorrow's supposed to be, it's 70 right now. And I think Monday is going to be like 75.
Yep.
Come on.
I think not Wednesday good. Night it hits.
Yeah.
Or Thursday morning. Oh yeah, Wednesday into Thursday morning. That's when I'm planning on sending it. So hopefully by the time this episode comes out, maybe I'll have to hop back on and one of us will have something on the ground and can do a kill story or something.
Let's do it. Absolutely.
Wood here. But man, good luck in the coming days. Always a pleasure talking with you. I really appreciate your time. And
yeah, you too, man.
We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
That's all for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked this episode, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're at it, if you could leave me a 5-star review, I would appreciate that a ton. You can also follow along with my outdoor adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at the Wisconsin Sportsman Pod. That's also the best way to get a hold of me to suggest topics, guests, or questions you'd like me to explore in this show. Big thanks to our awesome partners, XOP, Onyx, and Huntworth. Please go support the brands that support this show. And if you're looking for more awesome outdoor content, go check out thesportsmansempire.com, where you'll find a ton of other outdoor podcasts. And until next time, make sure you make the time to get outside and enjoy the incredible natural resources that are ours as Wisconsin sportsmen.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.